You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers. And as always, my name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. And today, joining me on the other line, former Indy Corners writer extraordinaire, here to finally start talking free agency, my lovely co-host Adam Friedman. Adam, how's it going? I didn't think of a witty joke for you today.
Pretty well. I was telling you before the show, it's even my Colts won. The Reds made the playoffs. I mean, I think that was yesterday, clinched for sure, but they now know the seed. So, you know, looking pretty good. And I hate Boston and they just lost. So it's been all roses for me.
Well, the Vikings lost and the Phillies got swept and aren't in the playoffs.
So even better for me that you're miserable, even better for me.
Geez.
And the Vikings player, who's a Colt, had two picks and a pick six. So
He did. He's pretty terrible most of the time, but he played well today.
So. Yep. Yeah. He played okay today.
But we are not a football show. We are a Pacers show. And a couple weeks ago, last week, I don't remember, we talked about the Pacers free agents. So Justin Holiday, Jakar, Sampson, and who all those guys, and previewed free agency from their perspective. This time, this is from the Pacers' perspective of guys they could sign potentially, or we're going to look at free agency from every position. Today is point guards. And I think the way we're going to do this is every Monday for today, we're counting as October. Today's for Locked On Pacers purposes, today's the first day of October. But throughout October, every Monday, we'll do a different position. And today's point guard. So how we're going to structure these is we'll start off by talking on why the Pacers could sign a player at that position and then move into specific guys that, you know, are like the best free agents, but the guys they probably won't get because they don't have a lot of cap space, and then the guys that actually make sense.
So yeah, we should
go ahead.
We should caveat though with the fact if they hire a coach, the schedule gets pushed at least a week.
Right, right. Yeah, the coaching hire, whenever that happens this month, if it happens this month,
if it happens,
sure it will. Yeah, yeah. If they ever actually,
would, Tony.
Yeah, that will take precedence over any of this stuff. But free agency is a big deal. It'll be late November, it seems like, so it's time to start doing this. And we'll talk more about October content coming up. But let's get going. Point guard's an interesting position for the Pacers to me this summer. This fall, the normal NBA buzzwords cannot be used because, right, they have Aaron Holiday, they have TJ McConnell, they have Brogdon, and between, you know, your Oladipo, Jeremy Lamb, Edmund Sumner guys, they don't necessarily, like, need a ball handler. So point guard is not a position, when you think about what the Pacers are going to do this summer, that I ever have gone, oh, they need to get this guy. So to me, this group and this player set is based on two things, or there's two ways it could happen, and we've kind of discussed both on the show. One is they trade one of the centers, right, Sabonis or Turner, and then they move Brogdon up a position. So they decide the starting lineup is, you know, Aaron Holiday is now a starter, and then Brogdon, Depot, Warren center. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I guess I can say, or you turn that pseudo point guard into a two guard. I think Bron's going to be the point guard at least.
That's fine. Yeah,
he proved himself good enough this year. But I know
right. What
I
mean. So that's one way, is a small positional shift to the starters. But I don't think that they would sign a starter in that case. I think they would like have Aaron start and sign a backup. Or the other one that we talked about is if they get in a really tight cap crunch, they can cut TJ McConnell and save $2.5 million, and then they'd want to pick up a vet. Potentially to fill his shoes, but he could be that vet. So do you see any other reason they would get a point guard?
It depends how much money and what they can. Obviously, they can only pay the minimum, and maybe they can use their mid-level exemption if they don't give
it. That would be bad resource management to me, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends, right? If they lose the guy, a center they want for that spot, and then they can find somebody for seven, maybe they use three for that guy, is what I'm thinking, right? And that's, like, not out of the realm of possibility. Because, like, I could see a world where you say, we want a guy who is better than McConnell, or we think we can find a guy better than McConnell. Because, like, the problem with cutting McConnell is, like, it actually clear you cap space, it clears you luxury tax space. So, like, there's really no reason to cut him. I mean, right? I mean, unless they, like, really don't want to pay luxury tax. Like, I get some doing that. But, like, so, like, the move would be, like, if you can't use all the mid-level, you maybe get a guy for $3 million. I'm thinking, like, a couple years ago, Seth Curry was floating around there. I don't know how much he makes currently, but he was floating around for, like, literally nothing. Could grab him up. I mean, Yogi Ferrell has been that way for a while. I mean, there are sometimes kind of these guards who slip in the draft or whatever for whatever reason who can be kind of decent NBA players or okay players, you know, off your bench, the ninth guy on your bench. And so it clearly showed this year that McConnell really can't play in the playoffs. So maybe you want that like 11th guy who maybe could play in the playoffs is the only thing. But I agree. I mean, you're looking at kind of two drastic points of like, do they swing for a big guy with either a trade or do they go for, you know, some marginal player to add in it? And I think this whoever they sign at this marginal will not play very many minutes. The Pacers are deep at guard. It's one of the few spots where they're really deep. I mean, the Lubeski point guard, right? They can play Aaron Holiday. They can play McConnell. They can play Brogdon. They can probably play a little deeper there depending on who the coach is. I mean, there's just a lot of options at that spot versus like the two guard. They're a little bit thinner. I guess it's depending where Justin Holiday falls.
I actually think this is the position that they're least likely to sign someone now that we're really talking about it, right?
Because yeah, I mean, they have three point guards in the roster currently.
Three nominal point guards and a bunch of guys who could do it for whatever, a few possessions, and positions aren't real. Sabonis dribbles off the court sometimes. Like, you know what I mean?
A lineup of Oladipo and Aaron Holiday might see Aaron Holiday in the game, but not playing point guard. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and that wouldn't be surprising. And I'm kind of pretty sure that happened in the playoffs a little bit.
So to me, another thing, and the reason that this first segment has to happen in all these free agency discussions is, so to follow up on what we're saying, that it's, you know, the least position of need. The other thing we haven't said here is Brogdon's hurt all the time, right? So depth at the position is important no matter what, which does give McConnell a better chance of sticking around. Again, McConnell getting cut is like less than 1% chance. It's only a money move, and it's super unlikely. But anyway.
Yeah, because it won't clear cap space. I mean,
yeah, so exactly. What's the point? It's super unlikely.
And he seems to play through injuries. It seems like, he played every game last year, almost every game. I mean, he's understands his role in this league is to be kind of the guy who can, like, on a random Tuesday night against a team that's maybe not very good, just be the high energy guy to win the game.
He takes your team from 46 to 48 wins. Okay, great.
He knows his role and he knows how he's going to survive in this league, and that's by just being durable and being high energy, because he's undersized and doesn't have a jump shot, which are two kind of killers in this league usually.
So what I was getting at before I got myself sidetracked is because they have Brogdon and all these guys who can do the position, even if he is hurt a lot, it'd be stupid to spend big resources on this position if they do want someone. Like, if they say both things that we said happen, where Brogdon shifts positions and is hurt a decent amount, which is not unreasonable, right? Maybe they do want someone, but because they have all those guys who can still do it for short spurts, like, why would you use your mid-level on your point guard or your biannual exception? Just get a minimum guy. He's not going to be playing that much anyway, right?
Yeah. If you're going to get a minimum
really
guy,
huge starting lineup, changing ambitions, I feel like that is why this discussion in this first segment here is important, is the context of if the Pacers chase a point guard in free agency, it'll probably be a minimum level guy. We'll still go through everybody, but I think that's important to note.
Yeah, also this is also a pretty weak point guard class.
It's not very good.
It's topped, but the highest paid player in the market, at least was, the former Pacer, and Jeff Teague. So yeah, it's not like that, and that's probably actually one of the top players. And
I have him fifth or fourth.
Right, so he's one of the top available, which is kind of,
that's insanely gross. Yeah,
and Teague is not even maybe playable anymore, to be honest.
He's not great. I feel like he's a backup level guy, but we're on individuals, so no. Let's just pivot to names, right? But before we do that, I want to talk about DoorDash, because between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list these days. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. Whatever you want, pizza, Chinese food, Froyo, there's something for everybody on DoorDash, and it allows you to continue supporting restaurants and your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code, all one word, LockedOnNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download that app in the App Store. The code is LockedOnNBA. Don't forget, that's LockedOnNBA, $5 off your first order with DoorDash. So humor me. Should we start with the big names and just rifle through them and go, okay, they're not going to get any of those guys? Or should we consummate some scenario where maybe they pursued someone?
So we said this, right? There's two players are going to get. It's either a sign and trade player or it's going to be a low level kind of guy.
Why they would sign and trade for a point.
Yeah.
Guard.
So, I mean, I think
that makes sense to me.
Yeah. There's nobody who I'm looking at is going to get a big contract right? I mean,
I disagree.
De'Aaron Fox.
I have two guys on my list who I think will get a big deal.
Okay, so name them for me real quick.
Okay, Fred VanVleet.
Yes, I'm thinking, I would say big guys who will be out of their price range. Sorry, I should have said that. Like, Fred VanVleet's going to get. Could he get $30 million a year? I think he could.
He'll get a lot. I bet the Knicks pay him a ton of money. But
whatever he gets, and then he gets get mad. Is he unrestricted? So
yeah, he is, because he signed it when he was restricted. He signed that big 2-year deal.
So how does that work for? Well, so but the Raptors could go in their bird rights and spend.
Yeah, they can keep him if they want to. Yeah.
Okay, which they would. Why would they not?
Because they just signed Siakam. They're still trying to win. So yeah, they'll probably try to keep him. But
yeah, I mean, especially if they're trying to make a play for Giannis, that's the
right. Yes.
Want to keep? He's a great player. Anyways, yes, so I agree. He's out of the price, though. He's gonna.
Technically too, but the other guy is Dragic, who's made himself a lot of money in the playoffs right now. So VanVleet.
So how much did he? How much do he gets paid? It's probably a 1-year deal, right? He's 35, 34.
They're going to give him whatever he wants for 1 year, because then they can still pay Giannis also.
5, 20.
Yeah, a lot.
Right. Is there any right? None of the major teams have free agents, right? Like. Him going to the Clippers would make a lot of sense, but I don't know how they pull that off.
He's the on the finals teams. Well, Anthony Davis, but I mean, he's going to re-sign. On the finals teams of the guys who actually feasibly could leave, he's the best unrestricted free agent, probably.
Okay.
Which is crazy. Yeah. The other guy is Mike Conley, who has an early termination option. He is not going to be terminating that, so he's not a free agent.
Yeah, that's a no.
So those 30, are the three.
What, $5 million?
What? 25, right. A lot of money.
Mike, $35 million is his option, right? That's a lot of money.
He's not turning that down. So those are the only three guys, I think. Actually, not even I think. Those are the only three guys that are going to get more or have more than mid-level exception money in this free agency, right? The Pacers literally cannot get to a place unless they trade all their players or a bunch of their players where they can even have the ability to sign those guys. So
Signing trade was like be for an $18 million player, and there's nobody going to make that kind of money.
Yeah, and it would be like Dragic for Turner, which I don't know why.
I was not going to name an $18 million player. I'm just going to say the $18 million player. There's two of them on the Pacers roster.
You think, that I haven't named yet? There's $18 million point guards?
No, on the Pacers roster, I wasn't going to give a name. There's two $18 million players. I was just going to say $18 million.
We already talked about trades, and we both ranked the same guy first. We're allowed to say Turner now.
I know. I was just trying to maybe not every week talk about it.
I know. We're not going to do it. Okay. Move on. The next tier is gross and terrible and the worst thing, because it's kind of like the useful utility point guards that are like McConnell level guys, but they would cost more than him most likely. Jeff Teague, DJ Augustine for sure in this tier. I don't know why they would get one of them, because just play McConnell. They already have a guy at this level basically. Teague might be a little bit, they both might be a little bit better, but not, again, like we talked about in the first segment, not worth using resources on. So I'm just going to delete their names unless you have any super awesome thought on either one of them.
No, I think that's fine.
Okay. I guess Reggie Jackson could be in that tier, but he was literally hot trash in the playoffs.
Yeah. That's the sound of me thinking about Reggie Jackson.
So that was boring, but that was literally every player who I think is worth more than, say, there's one more, I guess, that's worth more than, say, like $4 million. That was everybody. We just got all of them. Isn't that insane? This is a terrible point guard class.
Yeah, I mean, you go on this list, there's just like, there's a lot of guys. There's
one guy I want to mention.
Okay.
Chris Dunn. Is he a point guard, actually? But
he is. He is on SportsTrack, at least.
He will get more than $4 million. I mean, he's a great defender, but he's restricted. The Pacers won't get him.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen. But that's it. That is every free agent point guard that I think will get anything. I mean, some of these guys might get like tiny exceptions, but everyone left, I think, is barely above the minimum, if anything. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to like realistic targets first and then other guys, or like flyers versus established guys? How should we do this? We just have another segment too as well.
Yeah, let's start with established guys. I think the thing about the point guard class, to me at least, is – The value in this class is the sort of recent draft pick, maybe guy who didn't, but then floating around, and maybe you get him right, he figures it out, and he becomes okay, right? That's where the value is. A lot of these, when you're in this kind of tier, right?
Let's save that group for last, because that's the interesting guys they actually could get.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. That's kind of be our last thing.
I'm moving those guys off to the right of my list right now.
That's where the value is. And I guess with me, just as like a criteria, probably to be somebody under the age of 28, right? At least. And that's because it's, I mean, probably means even under 26 because it's like 4 years removed from college if you're a senior.
Okay.
Like Yogi Ferrell level.
Yogi, I have typed down. He's honestly barely an NBA level talent anymore. So I don't really get why they would sign him, but I bet.
But when he got signed, when he got signed originally, he was that kind of player, right?
Yes.
Unrestricted free agent, 2 years removed from college, whatever, became kind of an okay player.
Right.
Okay, yeah, so established guys.
Let's do the vets first. I have four. Do you have, can I do them or do you have
Yeah, I don't have an exact list. I just have some names. So you go first. You name
Okay, the four and the guys I have here on the vets, and I don't get, again, like we said with the Jeff Teague level guys, the difference being Teague is going to make more than $4 million.
Yeah,
I don't get why they would get a vet anyway, especially when these four guys are all worse than McConnell. One of them might not be. But the four guys I have are Matthew Dellavedova, Isaiah Thomas, Crowell Neto, and J.J. Barea.
So you're not putting Carter Williams in that category?
Just who?
Michael Carter Williams?
No, he's in my the young guys that we're going to talk about.
Okay, he's 29. No, he don't
enter, he's 29?
He's 20. Yeah, he'll be 29 this year.
Wow, okay. Year. Michael Carter Williams should be switched to the other tier, but I kind of viewed him as the guy you said that's like a former good pick that's kind of bounced around and lost value.
Okay.
He's 29. He should be in this.
He went to college for 4 or 5 years, I'm pretty sure.
Can we do a whole thing on MCW because he's my number one point guard?
Sure.
So of those four guys, Isaiah Thomas is not an NBA player anymore. His hip is just ruined. Terrible, terrible defender, and he's not pairing that with insane scoring anymore. I get why fans might look at stats and go, Isaiah Thomas, but no. Matthew Dellavedova, he's not even in the NBA anymore, right? So that's easy. I get the appeal of him. He's like McConnell. He just tries really hard and isn't actually that skilled. J.J. Barea is a million years old, and has he ever played for the not Mavs or like not for a decade?
Not that I can think of. I mean, he's just kind of a lifer there, right?
Yeah, he's funny because a lot of people who, when I have guys on to preview games, the Pacers opponents are always like, oh, the two Pacers killers, T.J. McConnell and J.J. Barea. It's like they're the same guy. That's right. Raul Neto is actually good, I think. He did well for the Sixers this year. Got their backup point guard spot over Trey Burke, which looks like a mistake. But anyway, he's actually good. He took the minimum from Philly last year. I have a feeling he could just get another minimum backup or third string point guard spot, so no reason for him to take any role with the Pacers. But he's good. I mean, if he would take the minimum and ride the bench, that'd be a good move, I think. But I don't know why they would do that.
Yeah.
So that's the vets. I think that's a boring.
So the only other vet, and this, he's not a vet, but he's age wise, would be Brad Wanamaker.
Oh, I have. I was gonna talk about him for the two guards, but he's good. Brad Wanamaker's good.
Oh, so you're okay? Well, he listed as a point guard.
Really?
Yeah, listed as a point guard on every website.
He kind of is.
I mean, he's kind of that like Aaron Holiday point guard.
Yeah, he's a good shooter. I mean, I just think of him as not a point guard. I guess he is. You're right. Brad Wanamaker's good. That'd be
he's
a good
31.
One.
He hasn't been in the league very long.
He's in Europe for a while. Celtics made him good. He was not a contributor. That's the wrong word to describe it. But you know, he just played like 16 minutes a game for them in the playoffs. You know,
he ended up playing 71 minutes a game for them. I mean, he's a good. He adds a little more than McConnell in that sense. Where he can
he's like Aaron Holiday positionally. He can play one and two pretty well.
Yeah, and he can shoot the three a little bit better than McConnell. That's where the only value.
But he's definitely worse than Aaron. So, it's the same thing that I just kind of said with Neto. It's like while it'd be fine to have him for the minimum, I don't know if I would play him over McConnell. And I'm sure there's another team with less depth, like the Lakers or the Rockets or something, that could give him the same money in a much bigger role. So it doesn't make any sense. But I digress. The next guys are the ones that actually make sense, the young guys that you talked about. So we should take a break before we talk about them, right?
Okay.
Let's do that. So it is, as is Locked On Pacers tradition, I got to tell you guys about Built Bar, and if you haven't tried them yet, I don't know what you're doing, because it's the best tasting protein bar legitimately ever. They're these 100% covered in chocolate protein bars that are soft, easy to chew. They have 18 fantastic flavors, and the texture of them matches the flavoring. I've explained that many times, but like the peanut butter flavored one is really soft. The coconut one's got some crunch. It's really cool, and they're really good. I tried all their original 12 flavors and really liked all of them. They're great for the health conscious person. They're good for losing or maintaining weight. They're delicious. They have a bunch of flavors. There's really no reason not to get them and try them. And if you don't like them, you can yell at me. But you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. You'll get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. So go to BuiltBar.com with that code LOCKEDON for $10 off. BuiltBar.com, code LOCKEDON. So this is the meat and potatoes part of Pacers free agency at point guard. Because these guys actually, like, it. it would make some sense, right? This is your – maybe Sumner's not the perfect comp because he was really injured in college, but, like, that guy that has some potential that is just outside the rotation that at a moment's notice you can throw him in and he can help and grow as he gets older. Now, we saved Michael Carter Williams for here, who I did not realize was 29 years old, but I chose him – and I want to single him out before we get to – I have three guys in this young tier. I don't know how many guys you have.
I got a bunch, but we can just fight on them all.
I have three guys that I actually think are good. Michael Carter-Williams is super interesting to me because he played like small forward for the Magic this year. And, you know, obviously his career didn't pan out like it looked like it would during his rookie year. Holy crap. He's played 9 seasons in the NBA. Why did I think he was younger than this still? Okay.
Well, because he came out of he went to Syracuse, I think, for 4 years or at least okay. At least 3. He has bounced around a ton. He'll be, by the way, he'll be 29 on October 10th, so in about 13 days.
Yeah, he came in the league over 20, so that's part of it.
He had a really good rookie season, if you'd call it good. I know he had a promising
rookie. Sixers promising, just promising, the ball.
Promising rookie season. That's bad. Yes. Promising. Certainly promising. And then I think he sort of has faded away, and you thought, and I feel like his rookie season was so much sooner than it was, when really it was kind of, because like him and Embiid came in the same year, right? Or close to, am I wrong?
Nah, Embiid was a couple years later, but then around the same time. That was the thing is, not Simmons, because Simmons wasn't on that team yet, but it just turned out that like Michael Carter-Williams not being able to shoot is a terrible fit with the other stars they had. So,
but I think in the sense that look at the teams he played for, right? He played for a Philly team that was in a rebuild mode. He played for Milwaukee before they were any good. He played for Chicago, who's been garbage for five to 10 years since Derrick Rose got hurt. Charlotte also has been good. Houston was good, and he was okay with Houston, but he barely lasted. Orlando also not.
He was okay with Orlando.
Exactly. He was okay. So maybe in the right situation, he can be okay, but he can't shoot the three, and that's sort of.
No, the shooting is killer.
That's so what
I
want
to back up
player.
Because credit to Houston, and he has to thank Houston for a lot of his career because, well, first of all, he actually shot decently from three there. He's not a shooter at all. Like, he's just
no, not at all.
But Daryl Morey and co. were the first team that was like, hey, this guy is tall. You know, maybe he can play on the wing. He's 6'5". He's he's bigger than Brogdon, and we all consider Brogdon like now he's a point guard, but like he plays off ball fairly often. So Orlando was like, oh, cool. We can play this guy at any position. This is helpful. And he played over half their games for them. I think he played in the playoffs for them. Not that it mattered. I mean, they were going to get waxed in that series no matter what happened. That is correct. Yes, he played 18 minutes per game for them in the playoffs last year. So, useful little utility player. But he's a minimum guy. And because he can play like 1-3, I think that makes him a good point guard kind of guy to target because like Sumner, right, who I also – he's not really a good one but can play 1-3 and like MCW is really good on defense and just not a terrible player. Like that's the perfect out-of-rotation guy to me. But I didn't know he was 29. That makes me not like this as much.
Yeah, do you think he's better than Sumner? I mean, just straight up
no,
right now.
No.
Okay.
A little worse. Not much. I mean, you know me. Like I'm the highest on Sumner of anyone ever. But no, I think Sumner's better. I think Sumner with MCW's opportunities would have had a better career than him.
But. Okay. I mean, I'm just curious. Like, I mean, let's say some injuries happen, whatever, and if you go to playoffs with a guy like that, would you like go with Sumner? I guess if the guy isn't better than Sumner, I don't know why you would sign a veteran guy like that.
Yeah, right.
You're not really – it's low, but it's what? High floor, low ceiling.
I literally am shocked that he is 29. Like I thought
I don't know why you're shocked. I'm actually not surprised with that stat, actually.
I thought he was like T.J. Warren's age or maybe a little younger.
Well, he came out the same year, but he went to college for 4 years.
I didn't know that. You're the Syracuse guy, so you were ready for this.
Well, he was part of that Final Four team that led them to get lost to Michigan on a BS call.
So this was my guy that I had circled and highlighted. Now I no longer want to do that. But okay, I have three more young guys, but apparently you have a lot more than me.
Well, you name your three and then I'll go. I mean, I want to say they overlap or not.
Okay, I think this guy for sure is going to overlap. Emmanuel Mudiay.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Yep. Javon Carter from the Sun. I liked him pre-draft last year, 2 years ago. I forget when it was. Went to the Grizzlies, got traded to the Suns. He's a good player. And my last one is Shabazz Napier.
That's another one I had. Okay.
So, yeah, Mudiay, not
good. Napier also kind of old, though, just so you know.
Yeah, he's like 27, right?
He's 29. Same age.
Oh, my gosh. Time is fake. That doesn't make
sense. But But Napier's a better player, so I was okay with him being in the category.
Yeah, Napier might get more than a minimum. We might be being harsh.
Well, like, by we mean me. Napier's kind of a legit player, where Michael Williams is like...
Remember how good Napier was against the Pacers in the bubble for the Wizards? It's like he was pretty good in that game.
Yeah, I mean, Napier had it's been pretty solid. I mean,
yeah, like, Napier might is kind of caught between this
like a 35% three-point shooter. I mean, that's a pretty solid career.
Yeah, he's probably out, right? He's probably too good for this role. Never mind.
I don't know. Napier, I mean,
you got maybe more focus than I thought you would today. He can't play two guard either, so out.
Yeah, I mean, he's point guard. He's kind of like, if you decide you want to upgrade McConnell, can you figure out a team to sign him?
Right, right. McConnell's gone, then Napier makes sense all of a sudden.
Well, I'm thinking McConnell, you put would you get a team to sign him and trade McConnell for him in a sign and trade?
Maybe, yeah.
Because then they can cut McConnell and save the money. That actually might be
a move. No, because his guarantee date's before the season.
So. Ugh, stupid.
agents beating us again. All right, Moutier is the interesting one in this group. Age-wise, I thought MCW was the interesting one, but he's 1,000 years old, apparently. Yeah, Moutier is only 24 still, doesn't turn 25 until next March. So he was super young when he came into the league because high school and then over to overseas. Didn't pan out with Denver. The Knicks gave him a ton of minutes, and he scored pretty well for them. You know, he was okay. Wasn't as good as a backup, but was fine for Utah this year. Can score well, but doesn't really do a whole lot else well. Not a good passer for a point guard, but if he would take the minimum, I think that's a good one. You know, he's young, former high potential guy, has bounced around, right? So not stable coaching. Those are the kind of guys that can grow.
Yeah, he might be a good fit because the problem is that he was in Denver, and I guess Denver kind of moved on when did they get Murray? Around the same time as him, I guess?
Yeah, like a year later.
Right, and so that's probably they moved on because Murray just like is an unbelievable
way talent. Better, yeah.
Yeah, and Gary Harris, he had enough guards there because like, it's not like he's – I mean, he's been with New York. So New York's a bad franchise, but not like he's been with bad teams, right? Like, the players I always look for, like T.J. Warren is like the perfect example, right? A guy who – and that's probably too good example because he had really good stats, but a guy who's been just with bad organizations. Like, Glenn Robinson probably this way for a while too, was with, like, Detroit, stuff like that. Like, you just look for that kind of – and Moody's been with good organizations. Utah's a good organization, so is Denver. So, like, maybe he just isn't that good, frankly.
He's not.
But, like – But maybe, if Utah couldn't get his potential out, I'm not sure the Pacers can, I guess.
You know what I mean? I think he might just be what he is. He's just the kind of guy that I think fits your criteria well, that you can kind of fake your – because the guy they would want is this kind of guy that you can fake your hand saying maybe we can turn him into something anyway. And he's fine. He's not bad. You know, even if he is what he is, he's, like, useful. You know, I don't think you've talked to anyone alive who follows the NBA who thinks of him as a 15-point scorer, but that's what he was for the Knicks. You know, he has those kind of capabilities every so often to be an offensive guy. He just isn't good enough to do it all the time. So that's a fine guy. If he's willing to accept not playing like very often at all, that's a perfect one. But I'm skeptical that he would take that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I kind of agree with you.
Okay, I'll let you do some now because the only one left is Javon Carter, and you don't have him. So
yeah, so
you're up.
Question I have is, how much money do you think Trey Burke gets?
Oh, I don't know why I don't have him. Did he get a team option with
the
Mavs? If he didn't, that's a good one, but he'll get more than the minimum too.
Right, so that's my promise. I think
he had great playoffs.
Right, he kind of falls outside that. So
yeah.
The other guy I kind of had on a list and just was DeAnthony Melton. He was
he's going to get like $10 million.
You think so?
He's a beast.
Really?
Yeah, he's not a point guard either, but he's a
beast. He is a point guard listed both – But I'm saying, you think it's like $10 million? Okay.
Oh yeah. DeAnthony Melton is a beast.
Okay.
Grizzlies fans love that dude. He can't shoot at all, but that is he's a great defender he's good.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought. I was you didn't say him when you said the $10 million guy.
I consider him a two guard, but he might not be.
But maybe he actually might be in the free agent role. Might be a good Justin Holiday.
Yes, he can't shoot, but he's a better defender than Justin.
I guess we didn't really mention that. We really kind of skipped over that category. Like, they lose Justin Holiday. Do they take a kind of point guard at this spot? We thought they wouldn't. And I guess DeAnthony Melton isn't a point guard, so maybe I'm – but, like
– Yeah, he didn't really play point guard for the Grizzlies, but they did, whatever. You know, whatever. He got traded for Javon Carter or, well, whatever. Whatever you want to call that deal. That was the Josh Jackson trade. I forget who else was in that. But Javon Carter was – every West Virginia college basketball player ever, but he tried so hard on D. He's like McConnell. He presses full court all the time. One of those kind of got defenders and energy guys. He's 24. He went to West Virginia for a long time. That's why he was a second round pick, but he went 32nd 2 years ago. He's good. He shot 42.5% from three for the Suns this year. He was good in the bubble too. I mean, he's a good player. I don't know. He's restricted is the problem, so minimums is not going to work. But if he doesn't get a qualifying offer, then all of a sudden you go, oh, maybe we can get Javon Carter for the cheap. But I digress. That was the last guy on mine.
I don't think so. I'm assuming he's going to. I mean, he shot 42% from three.
Yeah, he's good. He's probably going to
stay. If the Suns have any, well, they don't have any wits half the time, so maybe they won't. I'm going to throw you one more name. It is none of the category we're talking about. I'm just going to throw a player out there because, and we kind of said his name already, but I just wanted to say it again. Are we sure the Pacers shouldn't sign DJ Augustine?
Why?
I don't know. He seems to like, is there a. Somewhere in a world where they just
the reason DJ Augustine gets into these discussions is because we talked about this before. Every other year he's super good and you go,
well, wow, he had a down year this year.
We need that guy. Good again. Yeah, he was like 2018-19 when the Magic finally made the playoffs. A lot of that was because DJ Augustine was like
42%
finally really good. Yeah.
And all I mean in that sense is that like they make some thought where they need a really good backup point guard because they can play him in two ways.
Yeah. See that?
Aaron Holiday, and they can play him in a three-guard lineup.
I could do a good fake jersey swap picture. Yeah, the thing is he is definitely better than McConnell to me. So
McConnell's
gone in some way, that would make sense.
He's mid-level exception guy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Room.
Yeah.
So maybe not the full mid-level, but he's in the mid-level range.
Yeah, he's
and
good.
He would make sense, honestly, if you lose Justin Holiday and you have to kind of scramble. And now we're going to do shooting guards the next week or a week when their coach isn't hired. But to me, he makes some sense because you can kind of play him in a couple situations. And if you decide, especially it's a one-year deal, it's kind of a rental anyway. So if you decide not to use him, whatever, you can maybe trade him, whatnot, the trade deadline, or you can go. Because like I don't know if you want Aaron Holiday being the prime ball all the time, and you can probably play him a little off the ball. He reminds me of this is probably a poor man's Darren Collison, right? And maybe he's even better than Darren Collison in some way, but I feel
he's
like
he's not.
Right, he's not. I mean, he's kind of I don't know. I mean, some of his stats, he would argue he is good Darren Collison in the way he shot three.
He's not better than Darren Collison.
No, I know, but he could argue that at least. I mean, the guy shot 42% from three. Collison did that too. But that's what I mean. Like, we always were clamoring. I think, especially if Collison's on the team today, which maybe was a name we didn't throw out, Darren Collison, he's on the Pacers today. No, he'd be the backup point guard. Like, and he'd fit perfectly with it as a backup point guard.
I have another name to throw out. I actually have a couple more now that we're doing the nitty gritty stupid stuff. Tyler Johnson. Remember him? Got $50 million for some reason. He's not that good, but he's a good scorer. Tyler Johnson's actually an okay player. There's a reason the Suns wanted him for their bubble run. He can shoot a little bit. I think he's good. He's one. And then there's a bunch of these guys are worse than Moutier, but they kind of fit that bill of like young, unproven, but have shown enough stuff that a team could buy into them as like a project. Shaq Harrison from the Bulls is one. Frank Mason, if you remember him, beast at Kansas. The Bucks is one. Frank Jackson, I believe he'll stay with the Pelicans, is one. And then Tyler Johnson was the last guy on this list. But yeah,
Tyler Johnson, one of those guys who made a lot of money off the Nets.
Amari
Carroll did that. Alan Crabb did that. Otto Porter did that. A lot of money.
The Nets made a lot of restricted guys a lot of money.
Because they had nothing to lose because they literally couldn't tank because they didn't have the draft pick, and they also had a bunch of money and weren't very good, so they just wanted to spend.
Andrew Nicholson made over $20 million from them and then got out of the league that year.
I mean, just they started a roster at one point, I believe. I don't know. It was Damari Carroll, Alan Crabb was two of their starters, and I think Tyler was on the starting lineup too. It was a ridiculous roster.
Yeah. So
no, Tyler didn't play for them. He ended up playing for the Heat. Right?
Then he played, but they matched, yeah. And then he got traded to the Suns. I forget in what deal. But it was a three-team summer. But yeah.
Yeah.
So – yeah, there are a lot of guys that are free agent point guards, but A, there's not a lot of good, there's very few good free agent point guards, and B, the fit with the Pacers for 98% of them is bad in the climate of the cap situations and stuff. So this whole podcast was interesting, but it's highly, 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 highly unlikely that any of these guys end up on the
Pacers. I'm going to go out on a limb and just say, I think the Pacers missed out Justin Holiday because somehow he wants to leave, whatever. I don't think DJ Augustine is a bad backup plan.
I think D'Anthony Melton's a good backup plan if they lose Justin.
I would agree with you too, but I think he'd rather have shooting or defense. Melton's young though, so you probably wouldn't have him.
We'll talk about good Justin Holiday replacements either next week or the week after.
Well, he isn't that same in this.
We have to decide what position he is.
I don't know what Holiday is. Who knows? I mean, I was literally for point guard just going off sports track lists. So like, some guys are shooting guards, I guess. But I mean,
yeah,
it's the league is so like. Positions like one, don't matter. Three, or who knows who plays one after
time. Yeah, Yeah.
And 3 through 5 are can't figure out sometimes. So anyways, yeah.
Well, that was fun. I liked that. And this, and again, like I enjoyed this, but these will be a lot more insightful and interesting discussions, I think, with basically every other position. Maybe not center, but maybe center. Maybe. So
yeah, they need a third center probably at some point.
Well, I thought we said we weren't talking about that this weekend.
I didn't say any names. I just said just made a statement.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Again, I'm glad we got to admin stuff. Like I said earlier, this officially starts the week of October. We're calling this October for Locked On Pacers purposes, which means we're starting our player season reviews, which is fun. Get really nitty gritty on these players, their stats, where they go next, how their season was with the Pacers. So that starts this week. We're going to start with some younger guys. Goga coming up tomorrow. Aaron Holiday coming up later this week. So expect a lot of those this month. And then, of course, when they make the coaching hire, that will pivot all of our content. But, yeah, it's time for reviewing player seasons. And I think something I want to do, I haven't run this by Adam yet, is we get, like, one fan question on every player in each show, for like, the third segment. I think that'd be cool. But,
yeah,
we'll work that out. So thank you guys for listening. Stick around for player season recaps and things of that nature. And we'll see you tomorrow.